this is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, including a little weekend catch up. Did everybody do what they said they were going to do this weekend? Rock, I think you said you were going to do nothing, and I believe you really followed through with that.
So Friday night, I went to bed at 10:30.
Okay, that's staying up late for old lady Rock.
Right? And then Saturday, I slept till 10:30 a.m.
Nice.
When I woke
How many hours is that?
Like 12 hours.
Okay.
So I wake up, and I'm laying there, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to rest my eyes for a minute.
I don't need
to go anywhere anytime soon. And so I closed my eyes, and when I woke back up, it was 12:30.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that's the kind of day, like, for me that I feel like, well, I'm just going to stay in bed. I've wasted the entire day.
I think that, like, you in one night got legitimately more sleep than I think I got all weekend.
Yeah, Gavin stayed up. He did the opposite. He stayed up all weekend.
Man,
I was traveling this weekend. And so I had some late nights, but fun. Like, I went for my mom's 80th birthday, which I almost spoiled because she listens to the Aftercast, and we almost talked about it on the Aftercast the other day. I'm like, oh, no, wait, I can't talk about this.
Thankfully, Gavin was looking out for you.
I know. And so so I did not spoil the surprise. My mom was really surprised. So she walked out, and she had seen my nephew kind of out of the corner of her window, and she comes out and then starts to piece all of us together like, oh, wait, Wendy's here from Texas, and there's Becky and Wally, and then my sister Jenny couldn't be there because her husband had surgery, so we had them on FaceTime. But my mom was just so giddy, and it was great, man. I haven't seen her that happy in a long time. Aww. And this is a hard time of year for her, because my dad's birthday is 4 days after hers. He died 8 days after that, roughly, you know. So it's like it's a tough season, and so to have her family all around her, she was like, this is just the best gift. I'm like, is this the best gift? And she's like, yes. I'm like, well, let's return everything.
Good thought.
Right. Yeah. But so it was really good. I had some interesting travel things, though. Okay. So my nephew is an engineer for a company in South Carolina, and they flew him to Kazakhstan. And so I'd seen a video of him coming home. He'd been in Kazakhstan for 6 weeks in the oil fields. Mm-hmm. And he said it was like prison there. Like, you're on basically a work field. You have to stay like on the compound. You cannot leave because of COVID. You basically are in your room isolated for much of the day when you're not working. And, you know, the food is horrible and there's no freedom and stuff. And they have to take tests. And if you take a test and you're positive, they don't tell you the results. They just come yank you out at 3 a.m. and they take you to another camp where he said they have about 600 people in this other camp that are all positive tested and on lockdown from COVID. And he was so afraid he was going to get a positive test before he left and have to stay another 2 weeks at this other camp.
Oh, bless him.
And yeah, and he's just such a good kid. But like, he was like, it was hard. But he was in the airport in Atlanta going back home in the same time we were. And so we found out he was there, and so we switched terminals and went and saw him for a few minutes.
Oh, cool.
But the good news is they flew him first class for him. Like,
nice.
So
that's
he
nice.
Had his own cabin on this plane,
whoa.
Basically.
Wow.
Yeah,
way
he, to could, go. He could close a door.
That's awesome.
And lay straight out. But I said, would you go back? And he goes, not for what they paid me to go. No. He's like, if they paid me more, maybe. But for 4 weeks, you know, but that's it. He said,
so
it was
he was
so
only
hard.
There for 4 weeks.
He was there for 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
That is a long time.
Yeah, he said
that
is a long time. He said it was really hard because they just do things differently in Russia. Like, people are less of a commodity. They're a commodity, yeah. And less of a treasure, you know?
Yeah,
and
here we're so, like, individualistic, yeah. And we're, like, living our truth. And
oh,
over
yeah.
there, over there, I feel like there is just Russia's truth.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to him about the difference in the way things are there versus here, and especially even with COVID, because I thought you're in this oil and gas field away from people. Like, I would have thought they would skirt the rules just to keep work going. And,
yeah.
And he was like, no, they were so dogmatic about it. Because I guess if they had an outbreak, it could shut down the thing. Mm. And there's so many, I mean, billions of dollars at stake in this place.
Mm.
And so so I don't think he's going back, though. But he did say, you know, maybe for 4 weeks if they pay me more. But yeah, he's just a good guy. Like, it was interesting learning a little bit about that. But while I was in the airport, you know how I love to help when there's someone injured?
Oh, no.
Yes. Okay, so I was walking down the terminal, and I see this kid kind of by himself walking, and I'm like, that's odd that the kid is by himself. And then I looked around, I kind of lost him, like
kid, you say what age?
8 maybe.
Okay.
Like, he looked like 8, maybe 10, and looked kind of lost a little bit. And so
okay.
I'm like, okay, he's looking for his parents. And so I'd kind of kept an eye on him. And then my wife was asking me something, and it kind of distracted me. And then I lost him. I'm like, where did he go? Because as a parent, I'm observant
yeah.
about that stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I look over, and the kid is sitting at a table, and there's two guys and a lady, and they're like kind of hovering over him, and they have somebody from the restaurant. He sat down at a restaurant coming out with an ice bag, and the kid does not look good.
Oh.
And so they're regulating the situation. And so
sounds like they've got it under control.
I didn't think so. I felt like they needed
what is wrong with you?
I felt like they needed an amateur paramedic who has
amateur.
No training whatsoever.
Maybe
to
my
get
word.
Involved. And
give
so
people the respect
right.
and privacy
right.
that they need.
So I come over and I'm like, hey, I'm Wally, amateur paramedic. You guys need any help here? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I actually,
thank goodness. I wouldn't put it past you.
No, I actually stayed out of it. And so
what?
I was monitoring the situation.
Of course you were.
Because I was curious. And then the mom comes over. And so then I'm trying to figure out what's going on. But then, okay.
You're so nosy.
I know. But then what happens is the fire. This is where I helped, though, okay?
Oh,
I was such a big help.
Yeah.
So, no, I was.
Uh-huh.
I might have saved this kid's life.
Sounds like a really bold statement.
It seems like it possibly could have been a thing where he like got low on glucose or something like that,
uh-huh.
and maybe had like a diabetic thing, or
okay.
he was passing out. Like, the parents didn't seem crazy concerned, like maybe they had been here before.
Because they're the parents and they know their own child.
Right, exactly. But see, what happened is the paramedics show up. So the fire department comes walking down the thing, and they're sitting over on the left at this restaurant, and the paramedics come here, and they're holding all their gear, and they're looking around. They're like little lost puppies. Like, we know we're supposed to help somebody in this general area. Who are we supposed to help? What, we're here to help, but somebody needs
Someone
to be a beacon. Somebody needs to point us in the
a
right
lighthouse
direction.
A lighthouse in
Someone
the midst of the
us.
Storm.
Yes, so that we can help this poor, sick child. Who will that be? Who will help us? And at that point, I'm like, he's over there, sir. And so I point, and the guy looks at me, and he's like, thank you. And I'm like, do you need help? And he's like, I think we got this. And so he goes over there. But then the story of help doesn't stop there.
Oh,
normally,
gosh.
That would have been enough to help, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So then
and it is.
You're done.
They're taking out a blood pressure cuff. And I've had blood pressure issues recently. So I know all about this. I'm like, I know that 110 is a good. No, I'm just kidding. But the paramedic dropped his pen on his way over there. So I pick up the pen and I walk the pen over to them while they're in there, because I figured he might have to write down life-saving
yeah.
information, vital
right?
signs,
right?
something that if he gets it wrong could be detrimental.
Yeah.
So
totes.
Then I tap the other paramedic next to him because he was listening to the guy talk to him, and I said, sir, your partner dropped his pen, but I have it here for you. And he looked at me and he goes, thank you. You are a hero. And I said, no, you're the hero, sir. And I just walked away, and they never saw me again. Like, and so, like, I was that.
They're like, did you see an angel?
Yeah, maybe. I was that angel in an airport that just did what they needed to do and then got out of it and then just walked away. I didn't need an article on me on the Airport Times newspaper, anything like that.
Gavin, are you thinking the same thing I am? A stand-up.
Oh.
Encore.
Thank you. No, standing ovation.
Ovation.
Yes. Thank you. Give it to me.
I wasn't going to.
Yes. Thank you. That was some good stuff, right?
How?
Yeah.
How do you do it day in and day out? Always thinking of others.
I got home.
Always putting yourself second.
I got home. I was a little tired. Like when I got home.
Wanted to get up and walk over to go.
Yes. From all of that. Just the emotion. Like, because you know what it's like when your adrenaline runs. Like when you rescue people, like for an amateur living, your adrenaline rushes. On you, and then your body like has to come down after that, and it's not always easy.
Yeah, so, it's not.
Yeah, and so I
did. You talk to
it.
Them about it, the first responder.
Well, they I mean, their job was easy because I had already had the situation under control, so they weren't as worked up as I was, you know. So
you're like directing the flow of
he's over there,
of walking traffic.
Yeah,
stop.
Nothing
sir.
To see here. You guys just keep stop gawking. These people need privacy. I'll fill you in later. You know. So yeah. So that was my airport experience
you
on the way home.
You remind me a lot of Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show. He gets involved and makes a bigger deal.
Makes it worse.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my goal. All right. So there you go. That was my trip, and it was a lot of fun. What do you got, Lady Rock?
Well, someone took time out of their busy day. Maybe they weren't saving lives like you
probably
were.
Not.
They decided to take Mariah Carey's classic, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Okay. We all know, and I think love this song in the room. Everybody likes this, right? Oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, I could pass it.
Oh, you hate everything.
But someone, including you.
Yeah, I know.
Someone took that song and mashed it up with Twisted Sisters,
okay.
We're Not Gonna Take It.
Okay. I don't see how these two songs, I love mashups that work, but I'm curious how these two, are the same tempo, same
stretch.
Key? Is it? Okay.
It's a stretch.
All right, well,
see
I want to hear
think.
It. You have it?
Yeah.
We're not gonna take it.
Oh.
No, we ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. We've got the right to choose.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't hate this.
There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life. This is our song.
No stretch there. That's great.
I did not hate that. I thought that was actually pretty good.
Terrible.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, you just hate music. You hate
that
good music.
But this is something I don't hate. So there is a video going viral. It's this couple that live in Louisiana. They live in a trailer.
Okay. So far, your whole story is checking out.
Right. They might be related to me. But anyways, there's a skunk that's been terrorizing their trailer. And they put a trap out underneath the porch to catch it.
Okay.
Well, the video is of the man trying to, he's holding a bed sheet in front of him.
Good idea.
To make sure the spray doesn't hit him.
Sure.
But he's trapped the skunk and his wife is filming him.
Oh, he stinks so bad.
Is he spraying right now?
I don't know, but he stinks. Yeah, he's spraying. Come on, dude. Let me just move you. I'm going to give you a new home.
Oh.
All right, I can't go no more.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you can smell things through the fabric, so you know things have got to be getting through. That's what the whole ironic part of the masks are. Like,
right.
Like, if I can still smell you on a plane, like, being disgusting, there's got to be other things getting through that the fabric.
Well, and let's go back to the story you were telling us earlier about the Karen that you sat next to.
Oh, yeah, coughing COVID Karen.
She was coughing.
Yeah.
Did she say anything about why she was coughing?
No.
Was she older, younger?
No, my age, probably maybe a little
older.
Younger.
So she was already coughing when she got on the flight because you said you sat in the middle to take the brunt of the germs.
Yeah.
In case it was COVID.
Right.
Did anyone else around her act concerned?
No. There was a lot of coughing on this flight in general. Like, at first I gave her the benefit of the doubt, like, because she had a coffee with her, an iced coffee. I thought, okay, maybe she swallowed it wrong and is choking. You know, but you usually in this day and age, when that happens, you're like, I'm so sorry, I just swallowed wrong. And you just let people know to put him at ease.
Right.
She doesn't say a word. And the fact that she pulled down her mask to then cough, I'm like, I sneeze in my
mouth.
Yeah, like if I sneeze, I hate it, but I sneeze in it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, what is wrong with you?
I don't know what the point is then if you're gonna pull it down every time you cough.
Marty was really bothered by this, like more so than I was. Like I was frustrated, and then I ended up being frustrated myself that I didn't say anything. Like I just don't like rude people, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was like she was kind of, I could see my wife was kind of agitated. I kept looking at her, like trying to shame her, you know, and but silently shame her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think if she had sat next to her, I think she either A, would have said something, or B, would have switched with me and been like, let's switch. And I would have. Like, I'll take the hit, whatever.
Right.
I care less about germs.
I don't think I told you, but this is the perfect time to tell you. I was at a bonfire with some friends of mine, and a girl that was there was telling me that she was recently on a flight, and she said that it was a Southwest flight, so it's just first come, first serve,
right.
You know. So she's sitting on in a row, and she's sitting on the aisle. She likes the aisle, but the window and the middle seat were available. And this woman comes up, and she's like, hey, is anybody sitting there? And my friend says, no, like, you're more than welcome to sit here. And she said, great. She hands my friend her purse, and she says, use my purse to save that seat. Because she wants to put her overhead luggage up in the bin or whatever. But there's so many people coming at mm-hmm. once, and she feels like she is being pushed to further back. So she's like, you know what? I'm just going to sit in this aisle back here. Like, just hand me my purse. And so my friend just is like, okay, great. Here's your purse. Now those two seats are back to being available.
Yeah.
Well, a couple comes in now, and the woman has a dog with her in a little purse or whatever.
Ooh.
And my friend, because the woman's like, is anybody sitting in these two seats? And my friend says, no, you're more than welcome to it. So she puts her purse down in her seat, the aisle seat that she is going to sit in. She gets up and she stands back a little bit, you know, like stands in the aisle to let this woman and her husband in.
Did she sit in the aisle seat?
No. So the woman is getting situated in the middle seat. The husband has a backpack on, and he pushes her and says, you can't save seats. And she was like, sir, it's a Southwest flight. Like, you have a window seat.
Right.
The wife did not say a thing. And you know, like, he's probably got, like, anger issues.
Right.
And she doesn't want to say anything to stir up his anger. But it took my friend by surprise, because she was like, he just harassed me, or whatever
right.
you want to call that. And people beside her were saying, you need to say something to the flight attendant. Like, that wasn't right.
So
he should have done that.
I got a real loss. Who was he yelling at?
At my friend.
That she couldn't save seats, but he was letting them sit in. She did not understand
why he was being so angry about it. It made no sense to her. But she was in the same situation where she was thinking to herself. She said, I started like welling up a bit, and I was like, don't be that girl. Don't be that girl. You know, I don't want to cry.
Don't cry.
Don't cry. Yeah. So she said, I knew though, if I didn't say something, I would be mad at myself.
Yeah.
So she's sitting in the middle of the flight. They had already taken off, and she's out there in the, they're up in the air, and the wife is sitting right next to her. And my friend just leans over the wife and yells at the husband. She goes, sir, I'm allowed to save seats, sir, but I wasn't. You got the seat you wanted, and I got the seat I wanted.
And then she cried.
And I deserve an apology.
Oh, wow.
And he was he said, sorry.
Oh, really?
And the wife didn't say a thing.
Really?
She just sat there and played with her little dog.
That is so bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
That is so bizarre.
Like, why would you? And I said, well, how old were they? And she said, probably in their 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
So a man that should know better.
Yeah.
But you don't just go around and push some woman.
No, absolutely not.
Even if you think that they're wrong.
Well, that's still not
just for saving a seat.
Yeah, that's not the behavior.
And she wasn't saving a seat.
No, she was letting you sit in it, dummy.
But it was insane.
Yeah,
she never called the flight attendant.
Yeah.
She just let it go.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing, because like, you don't want to divert a flight. You don't want to start drama where you can't even escape.
But then again, you didn't start it. They did.
Right. Yeah, I know. Like, I probably... I definitely, if I had been sitting there and I had seen it go down, I would have said something for
sure. Of course,
sure.
Because you know what?
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah, like I helped that kid in the thing. I would have been a hero again on the flight.
They would have said, sir, yeah. We've got it under control. No.
I am more likely to help other people than I am my own issue.
I get that.
I am more likely to go to bat for somebody that I feel is being taken advantage of than like a COVID Karen. I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't care. But like if she had been going at somebody else or being rude, I would have said something, you know. But that's, I guess.
But
that's
if someone pushed Marty.
Oh my gosh. I've gotten real hair trigger on things now. Like I found the older I've gotten that the stuff that's going on in my head is now starting to come out. Where I have to be real careful with that.
You mean like the imaginative conversations that
no,
you had?
No, like with that, like if I was in a situation like that where I had seen somebody push somebody, or God help you if you pushed my wife, like in my head, and before when I was younger, I probably would have been shouting something bad in my head. Now that just seems to come out. I had this happen the other day. We were somewhere and somebody did something knuckleheaded like that. And before I knew it, the thing I was thinking was literally coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, oh, wow.
You've got to be careful with that.
Yes, I do. Because you in this day and age, too, you've got to think it through just a split second because you can be in really bad situations and start road rage and start, you know, and so, and I fear for my own safety as I get older. I tend to snap. And again, those conversations in my head are starting to come out more.
Yeah. And that's why when I was saying earlier about imaginative conversations.
Right.
So during the show today, we've realized, and I'm victim of this too. You imagine a scenario because you start thinking, oh, this person is probably thinking this. And then you start getting mad.
Worked up.
But I heard you starting to have that conversation and I yelled from the other room, don't have an imaginative conversation.
I know.
Because you're going to work your way up and actually believe that they did say that or they were thinking that when they might not have.
And I remember that situation because it was about something on the air where I was playing something and I didn't want to play a certain clip of music with it, but I knew that our consultant would have been like, why didn't you play the clip of music there? Because I couldn't play it because of what was happening at the end. So I had that whole conversation and I knew he wasn't even hearing this break, you know, but I still had that whole conversation in my head.
Right. It's so funny how we can do that. We can just sit there like taking a shower and you're just sitting there going, I bet they're saying this. I bet they're thinking this.
There was something, and I can't remember the scenario, but the guy did something, and I just went, dude, are you kidding me right now?
Recently?
That was happening in my head, but before I knew it, it came out, and he looks at me, I'm like, I'm being serious. Like, what are you doing?
What
you
did know? Marty say?
She wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
And then my buddy Greg almost got in a fight in a taxi stand.
What is going on with y'all?
We're just getting older and stop putting up with garbage from people.
I don't know.
But he's worse than me. Like he's worse than me. Like he was in the taxi stand and this guy cut in line and his came down to like the guy challenged him to fight. And it's like a 55-year-old guy.
Was his wife there?
Oh yeah, and Molly was mortified.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? Because she didn't hear what led up to this. All she knows is all of a sudden Greg's almost in a fight. And she's like, what's going on?
He needs to see someone.
He's got a hair trigger too, but he's tall.
You know what? My mom always said to be careful with the friends you make because they'll rub off on you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Greg's rubbing off on you.
He's going to get me in more trouble than I get him in because we were in Utah mountain biking and this guy honked at him because he was like getting ready to get something that fell off of our truck out and we were waiting for like a second at a stop sign and a guy honked at him and Greg just goes nuts on this guy and the guy pulls around and gets out of his car. So I'm like, we literally are going to get into a fist fight.
You need a gun.
That's not the right answer.
That escalated. That's scary.
Yeah, that did escalate.
No,
I had that same thought. Like,
that's scary.
I told him, I said, I've never needed to, I've never felt the need to conceal carry until I met you. And now I think I have to because you're going to get me shot.
No,
but it's funny.
Be careful.
Yeah.
With a guy like with the name Gregor Bear, you wouldn't think he'd have anger issues.
And here's the thing, though. This is the thing. And I think Gavin can attest to this. Yeah. I think Gavin can attest to this. Being smaller, you tend to rely on your humor and things like that to get you out of trouble.
That's, do you rely on, Gavin?
Oh, yeah, because you're not funny.
I just don't get in trouble.
It ain't your speed.
Come on. What do I have then? Yeah.
What? You're just going to get beat down.
That's what we're asking you. Yeah.
That's why I don't do the whole conflict thing.
But like Greg is a big dude. He's like 6'1", maybe. Uh-huh. And so I think big people just automatically feel they've got a leg up anyway. Mm-hmm. Like he would have gotten whipped. I know it. He's got a bad hip, you know, like but I think big people, my brother-in-law is like that. My brother-in-law used to start crud with people all the time, and he's just a big man, like that big man syndrome. But short guys have to assess the situation.
Yeah, we can't rush into
anything.
Yeah,
you can't because before you know it, yeah, you're getting stomped out and okay. I think I'm gonna have to watch this in the future.
Like that's why I have big friends. Like I try to make friends with like really tall guys.
So you'll be safe.
Yeah,
good idea.
In essence, I need a protector.
That's awesome. All right, you got some birthdays for me or no?
Oh, I do. Rachel, today is Rachel's birthday.
Happy birthday, Rachel!
She said, I'm turning 16 this year.
That's congratulations. Such a great year.
I like to crochet, play with my 10-year-old golden doodle.
Nice.
Do self-defense classes.
Good for you.
And of course, listen to the Wally Show podcast.
16 years old. If I could give you any advice from when I was 16, it would be don't care about what the people in high school think about you, because everyone is just trying to survive and tread water. And the people that can be the meanest are the most insecure. And you can make decisions and alter yourself and your personality and like not love the things that you love because it's not cool because somebody tells you that. Like, because in 2 years, it all changes when you get out of high school and you go to college. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, it changes the day after graduation.
Yeah.
Like somebody could have been tormenting you the whole high school career. You guys graduate and you see them the next day and you're like getting froyo and they're like, hey man, wasn't high school great? No, you tormented me. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, I was just kidding.
Yeah, there's something about like when you're in high school, that's your world.
Yeah.
But then once you graduate, your world is just turned
changes
upside
overnight.
Down. Yeah, and it's not there anymore. It just doesn't exist.
It's a non-factor.
Yeah.
So be you and love the things you love, like crocheting.
Love crocheting. Yeah. Love on your little golden doodle. Yeah.
You do it, girl.
Do defense classes, and if they bully you, you know she can take up for herself.
Yeah, she
probably
can protect
better
Gavin.
Than Gavin.
Why did it come back
Go,
to me?
Rachel! Yeah. All right, question from Melissa, our Wally Show historian. Have you ever gotten in trouble for saying something off air, but actually on air because you forgot to turn the mics off?
Now only one person in this room has very full control of mics.
Yeah, my job is to put the mics up and down.
There has definitely been times, though, where Wally will get distracted and you won't have them turned down, and then we'll have someone run in. Yeah. They'll be like, your mics are on. But thankfully, either the song was
too loud,
or the mics were at least low.
It's only happened about 3 to 4 times in my career, like 29 years of this, and I think 2 of those were here, and then 2 were at other stations. So I haven't done it a lot.
Did you say something bad?
No, you guys did. It was the year that I was going on the Way FM cruise to Alaska, and I had the mics. We had done a break about it, and I didn't have the mics down. And you guys were busting my chops and complaining about it. I was back when Becca was on the show, and it was.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yes.
And then I looked down and I saw the mics up. I'm like, oh my gosh! I'm like, I'm so sorry. But fortunately, the music was so loud. Like I asked a bunch of people, like, did that go on the air?
I do remember that.
My worst time of this, though, it wasn't mics left on. I was working at a rock station, and we had had a new sales manager, and I didn't get along with this guy at all. And so we were doing a phone call, and something led to making these jokes. And then his name comes up, and so I said all these horrible things about his wife, and so. But again, I'm in the room. I'm taping the phone call. It's not live. I'm taping the phone call, And I'm getting everyone in the room to laugh, which is the worst.
That's the important part. Everyone was laughing.
Let me tell you, what I said was wickedly creative and funny, but like the room is laughing.
Yeah. And horrible.
And so I'm just like, and so I'm going farther to make it funnier, you know? And so we finished that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, obviously, I go to Mark, who was the editor at the time. I go, all right, obviously cut all that out. He goes, yeah, I got you, dude. So then we start playing the call back live on the air. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing us get to this part, and I'm hearing this guy's name come up, and then I hear me start talking and saying things about his wife.
No!
Mark, he goes, I swear I cut it out. And then to this day, I'm like, I don't think you did, because he was a good editor. Like, and so everything I said went on the air live, or not live.
Did you get in trouble?
Stinks. Oh, dude. My phone, our hotline rang the second that, like, it didn't... It was not a split second after that call finished airing and Mark dumped out of it that our hotline rang, and it was this guy, the sales manager, swearing at me nonstop, like yelling and swear, like vile.
What happened?
Did the whole thing play through?
Most of it. The worst part of it played through. Let me just tell you that.
Didn't you guys have just like cut it?
We were so shocked. We were both like...
You couldn't just pull it
down. We panicked, yes. And I still think he did it on purpose. But like, yeah.
Did you apologize?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I told him, I said, dude, I explained to him, look... Yeah, I don't like you. But like what I said about your wife was not... appropriate, and it was just, I was trying to make everybody in the room laugh. I said, you know how this business is. I was being a jerk, but I was just trying to be funny, but it should have never aired. I said, like, that was never designed to air. That's my fault. Like, yeah. And I said, I'm truly sorry for that. Like, I don't even know your wife. Like, I would never hurt her.
You didn't have to say, you didn't even know
her?
No,
I didn't even know her. That's why it was just generic and funny, you know?
Oh my
like,
gosh.
So it wasn't personal. Like, I didn't know her, but it was just, yeah, so. Anyway, so yeah, so
that's
bad.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I had to.
Mine doesn't even compare to that.
Yeah, I had to eat
what
that
is
one.
Yours?
So, my big one. I think I've only had two, but I would say my main one was when I first started on air. I was doing traffic and weather.
I remember.
Oh yeah.
And so I would do that in the back studio, and there was one day that there was actually a fatality on a major highway here. And I'm in the middle of telling it, and I'm playing my music, and I'm moving the mic just to get it, you know, right. And all of a sudden, it just falls off the stand and hits the ground. So you hear me going, and there's a fatality on I-65. And then I go, oh, crap.
Great.
And then I just hit the button, and you'll
let it out.
Oops.
We used to have a lady.
That's great.
We had a lady that was our boss, and so they hired this lady to
Is this back in your rock and roll days?
Yeah, still rock and roll. Any of my funniest stories are back from those days. So they hired this lady to be our boss, and so we just did not get along with her. And
nobody so, you got along.
I didn't get along with anybody back in the day.
What a history.
So, but then to make it
if
matters worse.
If you actually said you did get along with someone, I would be shocked.
Yeah. To make matters worse, then they put her in our show. So now she was a third member of our show.
Think they did that to be mean?
They did it to babysit us, I think. Yeah. And because they wanted this woman on the show, and she'd been on the air in New York, and she was like...
She was a big deal.
Yeah. So anyway.
Sounds still a bit bitter for him.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
She didn't click with us. Like, I'm sure in some world she was good.
Yeah.
But, like, it didn't work with us.
Not this world.
Yeah. Like, to give you an idea, like, she would ask me, why am I not in any of the promos? You know, the little snippets of what makes the show.
She would ask why she wasn't.
Why did you guys cut me out of the promo?
I said because
you don't say anything funny, or you just repeat what we've said. I said that's all you ever do is repeat what we've said. We
just
don't
like
need
a true
that.
Crime podcast.
Yeah. So yes, it's like the Brit. So
I'm getting past that.
I was honest and direct with her, so we didn't have a great relationship. But
wonder why?
Yeah. But so this was bad though. So
when she was
gone, we would take and record bits of her laughing because she had this big laugh. So we would take bits of her laughing and saying things, and we called it her name in a box. And so when she was out, we would be like, oh, we'll talk to her name in a box. I just want to use her name. And so we would do so scenarios and play her responses that were pre-recorded. And so, like, the fatality, we'd be like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. It's so sad. There was a house fire and two children were killed. Wah! It's hysterical, guys. And so, like, so we did that.
Then she could make it into a promo.
Yeah, you made it.
Did she know you were doing that?
When she found out, livid doesn't even cover.
You guys are terrible.
Yeah, how mad this woman was. And I get it. Like, she should have been mad. That was the right reaction, was to be mad.
Then why would you want to do it?
It was funny. Like, it was a different time.
That's what you always say. When you do something wrong, when you tell about stories from in your past and it was terrible, you go,
these stories put such a smile
time.
On your face.
It was a better time.
Yeah. Well, the reality, here's the deal, though. The reality is, if they had done that to me, it would have been different. Like, they wouldn't have done it to me because I wouldn't have cared. I would have been like, oh, that's funny. Like, I would have found the humor in it. Like, it wouldn't have bothered me. I would have been like, honest, truthful. I would have been like, oh, that's creative. You guys got me. Good job. Like it just wouldn't bother me.
Because in essence, I mean, what you're doing there is theoretically sort of similar to, you know, here's how Betty heard it on the show.
Yeah. I
mean, compiling little clips of audio. Those are just, you know, for good Christian radio.
The thing about radio is, like, and about guy friendships is you put each other on the spot. Like, that's what you do, because there's humor in that. And so, like, you'll put your buddy on the spot with his wife or his girlfriend or whatever just to stir the pot and see the reaction. And so I have grown up my whole sense of humor, my whole life with that, you know? And so I don't get offended by that stuff at all. Like, it doesn't bother me. But yes, it was a different time. So
A better time.
All right, you know what? That is gonna do it. I've made myself look bad enough today on the Aftercast.
So, as always,
thanks for being a potty.